Welcome to the People Experience Pulse podcast, your gateway to the new frontier of human experiences at work. On the PX Pulse, we're all about elevating experiences, fostering belonging, and building remarkable workplace cultures in a fast evolving world.
Have you ever found yourself fumbling for words or battling butterflies in your stomach right before addressing your organization? In today's episode of the People Experience Pulse, our hosts, Vicky Flyer-Hudson and Jeff Bond, unpack techniques for managing the fear of public speaking. Discover the myths that surround this common fear, hear insightful strategies for managing, if not befriending, the fear of speaking, and get ready for some practical tips that will not only help you conquer your next speech, but might just turn you into a public speaking pro. Stay tuned to hear stories of success and insights to help you triumph in your next public speaking engagement.
Are you looking to make your workplace more human? Check out my friends at CoolLeaf. What I love about CoolLeaf is that it helps leaders create connection, engagement, and recognition. You can celebrate team wins, reward colleagues, and have fun with your coworkers. You can build a culture of appreciation and feedback that boosts morale, retention, and performance. CoolLeaf also simplifies measuring and improving the employee experience with pulse surveys, rewards, and integrations with your everyday tools. To learn more about CoolLeaf and how it can make your work more human, visit coolleaf.com/try CoolLeaf. That's coolleaf.com/try CoolLeaf to book your free demo today and see how top workplaces use CoolLeaf to put their people first and thrive. Welcome back to another Strategies for Success episode, where we are sharing practical, actionable insights for fostering an inclusive, purpose-driven work culture. Today, I'm here with Vicky again. Vicky, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
Doing really well and excited to talk about something that I know is a sweet spot for you, is helping people understand what to do if you're nervous to speak at your next all hands or next large format company meeting.
Yes, indeed. I am extremely excited to talk about this. How do we manage this? How can we manage and even befriend the fear of public speaking to make all hands meetings more effective and engaging? And Jeff, I don't know if you knew this, but there is actually a survey that's taken every year that asks what are like the top 10 fears in your culture. And every single year, public speaking comes up number one and death comes up number two.
Wow.
So death is number two. So if you take an all hands meeting where your speakers are talking to the entire company, it's like a recipe for those primal fears to get triggered even more than normal. And people actually start equating death with public speaking. So I've seen really good speakers and great messages become sort of robotic, like recitations from PowerPoint, just because of nerves. So it's just so important not just to have great speakers and content for those all hands meetings, but you got to set those speakers up for success. Don't just toss them out there. Wouldn't you agree?
I completely agree. And these are such critical times. We're talking about all hands meetings where you've got the captive ear of your entire company and you want to get it right. You know, what you say, how you say it, the tone you set, it really impacts the culture and the mood that people are feeling at that season of your business. And right now in this season of economic turmoil, a lot of people are tense and they want their leaders communicating with clarity, with confidence, to give them an idea of where they're heading so that they have a little bit more certainty in their jobs and what they're doing. And it really is a galvanizing moment. And so setting up these speakers for success, like you said, is so critical. It's vital to the health of the business. And so understanding what some of these common misconceptions are before we get into this topic, I think are important. Don't you think, Vicky?
Definitely. There are a lot of misconceptions out there about speakers, like you just mentioned, you know, high level leaders speaking with clarity and confidence. I think a lot of people think they don't get nervous, but that's not true, is it?
Not at all. I mean, as many times as we've done the podcast, when you know that people are listening to you and that every word matters and that sometimes the opinion that people have of you hinges on the words you say and how you say it, it can be nerve-wracking.
It's so true. And this fear of public speaking is common to almost everyone, like I said, about the survey. You know, that's a global survey. It's all over the world. And I think there's a myth that nerves are a sign of weakness. And that just could not be further from the truth. It's just a sign of humanity, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, leaning into your concerns, your fear of public speaking can sometimes be an advantage when you can be vulnerable and you can show up authentically and, you know, be human in front of your entire organization. You still want to be prepared. You want to be able to connect with effective communication. But being a human and showing what you're working through as a leader can really send a nice signal to your people.
That is so true. And one thing I've always admired about you, Jeff, is how you make such strong connections between how we communicate and the purpose of our business. So if you are just tossing speakers out there without proper preparation, sometimes they have a great opportunity, but it's just missed. They have an opportunity to come back to the purpose of the business and to really get people rallied around that, but they don't always have that chance because of nerves, which is a real shame.
Absolutely. So let's get into some of the core discussion points here and some of the strategies for maybe not overcoming the fear of public speaking, but actually managing the fear. You made a really strong distinction between those two words, because it's not that you can completely conquer it. It's always there. But, you know, having some techniques to be able to go through that are particularly important. And I know one of those for you has always been developing a strong opening and a strong closing statement. Let's unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, this is something I'm super passionate about, because if you think about it, the opening is the first impression that people have and the closing is the last. And yet, honestly, in like 99% of corporate presentations, these are the weakest parts. And it's, again, a real missed opportunity, because you can open, if you open strong, not only does that help the audience, but it helps the speaker just feel confident. So I actually tell my public speaking coaching clients to practice their openings about 10 times, and the same with their closing, until it becomes real to them and authentic and it just rolls off the tongue. And if those first 30 seconds go well, the rest of it tends to do the same.
And from what I've seen from all the speakers that you've supported going into big format events like this, they actually look forward to the opportunity to show up in this way in front of their audiences, particularly their peers and their managers and global leaders. It's an opportunity for them to have a visibility moment and to inspire their coworkers. And so having that planned opening and closing with that level of practice and rehearsal is something to really look forward to and that they are ultimately proud of at the end. And you also do such a good job of preparing speakers before they go on stage. So whether it's a virtual event or an in-person event, we will host a virtual or in-person green room, and we go through some exercises to help these speakers get past those primal fears that you talked about before. Can you share some of those?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do literally right before you speak. So there's some research by a professor from Harvard named Amy Cuddy, who was in a terrible car accident that gave her brain damage, and she actually had to go about rebuilding her brain. And so in order to do that, she had to build her confidence. And one of the things she discovered in her research about confidence is, if you look at primates, what do they do to show confidence? They make themselves really big. So I always tell my coaching clients, like, right before you speak, go into a room on your own. And this is especially easy in a virtual environment. Just go into another room and put your arms above your head and make yourself really, really big. And if you do that about 2 minutes before you speak, research shows that your confidence hormones go way up and you have a better chance of getting that message across. And then there's a number of breathing techniques that I give folks, just big breath in through the nose, big exhale out through the mouth. That's kind of slowing down the nervous system. And there's just so many things you can do. Getting in touch with your authentic self, which I think is a huge part of being a great speaker, whether you're super eloquent or not.
Yeah. I've seen some of the best speakers go through those exercises, and it just takes the temperature down to an even keel level. And I feel like the nerves are just, you could see it kind of stripped away right before you go on stage and you do this really important thing. And so I think it's such an incredible short and intentional moment before you do that that makes a huge, huge difference. And the other thing that I found is that a lot of people who are speaking now in front of their companies aren't necessarily native to the language, or, you know, they're expats in different countries. We have global companies and distributed teams emerging. And so, you know, different people with different speaking styles that want to meet their peers, their coworkers where they're at, are nervous about that. And so do you have any examples of working with global teams that you could share? Because I've seen the difference that it makes when you can kind of bring in that cross-cultural lens to it.
Yes, for sure. One of my favorite stories is I was working with a gentleman who was a non-native speaker of English, and he was an incredible leader, and he had great ideas, and he had so many like departmental successes to share at an all hands meeting, but he had some nerves, as most speakers do. But I think he had extra nerves because he was afraid that his accent would cause him not to be understood. And this was affecting his voice tone and kind of making it more flat. And his talk came off a lot more tame than his authentic self, which was very bubbly and energetic. So we came up with the idea to actually have him give his opening in his native language and then give it again in English. And that changed everything for him because he got to just be himself. So you don't have to stay within this kind of stereotype of being, a certain way as a speaker. You know, you can bring your own identity into your speaking. And often when you do that, not only is it great for the audience because they get more authenticity, but it's great for the speaker to just be true to themselves. And that brings down the temperature, as you said. I love that expression.
That's such a great story. I remember that moment and the words of affirmation that were pouring in over the chat, the colleagues that were just celebrating the uniqueness of him opening in his native language, and just how cool of a moment that was. It was a brief moment, but it really made such a significant difference in that meeting. So great, great example of that.
Wasn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah.
Just to see like the response. And then, you know, we got the communication from him afterward, like both of us, that, you know, that was a game changer for him.
Yeah.
And opened up possibilities for the future.
And then you ended up doing some coaching with their entire team afterwards.
Yes,
so it kind of led to more engagements on that. And so I think what I've seen is that the overall tip to our listeners here is that creating a supportive environment for speakers to incorporate coaching and feedback and allowing them to get past their anxieties and to really bring their authentic selves to these meetings is so meaningful, and it makes such an impact, and it really leads to them becoming bigger, more confident thought leaders for your organization that are willing to even take stages on an external platform, which is good for business. It's good for evangelizing the name and building ambassadors. And so providing them with this support to overcome and manage rather the fear of public speaking, as you mentioned, Vicky, it's just a fundamental thing. What other practical takeaways would you give to our listeners?
I think that, you know, one of the things, Jeff, that you're so good at is creating a production experience that helps the speakers too. So rather than just sort of tossing them a random agenda and expecting that they know how to flow between different segments of that, or that they are going to do a good job with their transitions and feel comfortable with that, you're really good about, you know, coaching them through like a run of show and just having a flow so that they're not just talking about their content, but they know how to go from one segment to another. This is another huge weak area for corporate presentations, is like people go through their slides, but they don't necessarily put any focus on the transitions between them. And so that's a huge part of having an effective energy to a meeting, where it just flows like a river instead of just sort of next slide, next slide, next slide, which we've seen, right?
So true. And there's so many of these meetings that I've watched, whether they're in-person productions or virtual, where people aren't getting spotlit at the appropriate times. They're wondering if the tech is correct, and it just kind of derails the flow and the emphasis on the meeting and the key points because you're too busy thinking about the clunkiness of that. And so just smoothing out the experience is a great way to create support for your speakers and to enhance the experience and the feeling that they get of fulfillment coming out of these. And so they're really important to focus on. So I would just encourage everyone to commit to applying at least one of these strategies in their leadership role. There's so much value in taking a small step and helping people to transform their approach to public speaking, because the way we speak, the way we communicate creates influence. And we hope that that influence ends up being a force for good for your organization that drives real business results.
Absolutely. And we are very, very passionate about this subject. So as we draw this enlightening conversation to a close, we want to leave you with a thought that's both a challenge and an opportunity. So embracing public speaking is not just about managing fear, but it's actually about helping people. Because at the end of every presentation, someone's life is supposed to be easier or better. So if you put this framework of service on it, speakers can remind themselves that they're actually creating a better place to work and helping their customers.
Absolutely. And you shouldn't fear speaking more than death.
So true.
And remember, this journey doesn't have to end here. If you want more insights, tools, and conversations on transforming the workplace into a space where every voice is heard and valued, visit us at peoplefirstelevation.com. And, you know, we're here. We're all about collaboration and support. So don't hesitate to click on the Let's Work Together. Reach out to us. Happy to have a no-pressure chat. Whether you're taking the first step or your next step in leadership, we're here to support the journey.
Thank you to each and every one of our listeners for joining us today on the People Experience Pulse. Your commitment to leading the charge and transforming workplaces is what makes this movement so powerful. So remember, every step forward, no matter how small, is a leap toward shaping a future where work is not just work, but a platform for purpose, passion, and possibility.
So until next time, keep leading with courage, keep inspiring change, and most importantly, keep elevating the human experience in every meeting, every project, every day. Goodbye for now.
Bye, everyone. If you found value in today's conversation, we'd greatly appreciate it if you took a moment to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us deliver high-value content and reach more listeners like you. You can find other inspiring episodes and additional resources at our website, thepxpulse.com. Join our community at thepxpulse.com. Thank you again for joining us on the People Experience Pulse. Until next time, remember, the heartbeat of any organization is its people. Let's make every pulse count.